This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Are you ready for this? Because I am super excited. It's the first ever episode of Playing Around with Paige Renee and a special guest co-host, Josh Temple. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same. I'm loving this. I'm so excited. It's golf. It's fun, really fun guests. But I'm going to turn it right back on you because it's Playing Around with Paige Renee. This is it. This is not your mama's Instagram.
No, I have been waiting for this moment for such a long time. I've wanted to do a podcast, but I just didn't feel comfortable yet. Most people know me from Instagram and they just see a picture and they don't realize that there's more to me. There's a lot more to me. And so
I have a lot of jokes for that.
I'm excited to hear them. But no, it's really exciting for me, and I think it's going to be like a real liberating experience because over the past 4 years, if you have followed me for that time, there's been a lot of things that have happened behind the scenes, and I'm really excited to share those stories and be open and honest, and nothing is off limits here. Like, we're going to talk about it all. I'm already an open book, but I'm really excited to share all of my experiences. And you know, something happened to me last year where I got fired from a job. First time I've ever been fired, too. I'm just kind of sad. I'm a good girl. I never get fired. But I got fired for a really stupid reason.
Yeah.
I put something on my personal Instagram account, and I thought it was just really witty and tongue-in-cheek, really silly. I got fired the next day, and they said it was outrageously inappropriate.
And was that what they said? What did they say?
So my agent called me and he was like, hey, like, you killed your video, like, this is really funny, but you're fired. So either
you hold on a sec. That's how agents talk, huh?
Yeah, no,
oh, you killed it, it's amazing, and you're fired.
Yeah, so it's kind of this whole thing, and it was a real learning experience for me because throughout that process, when I got the taste of how it really works in business and how cutthroat it is and how friends aren't your friends and how I was tired of being controlled by everyone else. You know, I would get these jobs and they would say, hey, you have full creative control. And they would put me in this box of like, okay, you're this blonde bimbo that can't play golf, and so we're only going to put pictures of you up there.
But you can play golf.
But I can play golf, and I have a lot to say. And so I was so frustrated that they were telling me this is who you had to be, and that's kind of happened my entire career, where I didn't have a platform where I could speak candidly about my life or what was happening, because every single time it was with some other publication or with another company, the narrative would be changed to how they wanted people to see me.
Well, you're looking at a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Because they want you for you.
So they want to profit off of my looks, but then they don't want everything right that comes with it.
Right.
And so I got really tired of that. And so last year when I got fired, I was fed up. I was really discouraged because I've always been seeking respect in this golf community. And I realized that I really just don't give a shit anymore.
Yo, and hello, so, first one. How does it feel?
It is amazing.
That's the first S-H-I-T on your podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am sorry, Mom, but I'm going to cuss.
Good girl.
No, but I think if you've watched my content over the last 4 years, you can see me. People always say I sound really nervous or I look really nervous. And I think it's because I'm always guarding myself and what I want to say, because I already know what my image is. I have put myself out there. I know what I'm doing, and I don't mind being sexy. But I know if I speak candidly or openly about certain things, then the hate I'm going to get is going to be 10 times worse. You know, I already get called a slut and a whore and all of these names, and that's without ever cussing or without ever stepping on anyone's toes or without ever saying anything. And I've always just kind of been this like girl who is afraid to be outspoken, really truly outspoken. And I wanted a platform where I could do that. And that's what this podcast is. It's a place, obviously, to have fun. Like, it's not going to be super serious all the time. We're going to talk about all of the silly questions I get. We're going to talk about the DMs and if people say stupid shit about like my body. Like, we're going to talk about all that stuff. We're going to make it fun. We're going to talk about golf, but we're also going to get into things that matter to me and that have played a really big role in my life.
Excellent. So look, whoever fired you just spawned a new you, and that's that double the pleasure right there.
Yeah.
Pun intended. Let's do it, right?
100%. I think it was, in that moment, it was one of the worst things that happened to me, but I turned it around and it's the best thing that could have possibly happened to me. And now I'm out for revenge and I want to just
step on someone's neck, drop the hammer.
Yeah. I just want to be me and I want to be unapologetically me and I don't want to say sorry anymore. I don't want to be scared about what I'm saying. I don't want to say all these things because people are going to hate on me. Like, I'm going to give you a reason to hate on me if you want to hate on me. And I want to share my stories. I want to use my voice and I want to have fun with it.
Let's do that. Okay. Well, this is genius. This is what a nice credo to start this whole thing out with. So we're at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, we're at Pebble Beach for the AT&T.
Which you should be playing
in. Which I should be playing in, but I can't because I don't have my amateur status. They won't give me my amateur status back, which is...
I mean, it's just a bunch of shit.
I know.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
All right. So we walked the hallowed grounds.
Mm-hmm.
You were just at in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of Pebble Beach?
I love Pebble. So I played Pebble about 4 years ago for the first time. And it's just one of those courses you have to play. It's on your bucket list. You got to go see. And it's beautiful, obviously. But like the layout of the course and just the feel of like where you are too. It's just such a special place. And I think everyone who has played Pebble or any of the golf courses around here, they always say it's in their top five, top three courses they've ever played. It's just, you can have a horrible round of golf and still have an amazing time because the views are so amazing. And it just, like, this is what golf should be. Like, this is what makes golf so great, is that you're on this beautiful golf course, you have this amazing scenery around you, and it's one of my most favorite places to play golf.
Okay, so what is it like now? I'm gonna double this.
Yeah.
So what was the combination like walking 18 at Pebble today and then also getting stopped every 5 minutes by someone that recognized you? And the reason I say that is because I was the one waiting.
I know.
But
you said I had a diva moment.
but what? How wonderful was that as well?
It's just, especially like last week at the Waste Management, which is like my main demographic, or just like college boys, and like I love it, but they're so nice, and it still just is so bizarre to me that people are gonna like come up and ask for a picture or like say hi or like talk to me. And I'm so lucky that I'm able to do what I get to do, and I get to meet so many amazing people. Like, I don't consider them my followers, they're like my friends, and so it's cool to meet them in person. And they're like, oh, I followed you, and like I'm always like, send me a message so we can connect or play golf. Or I really try to connect with everyone like on a real personal level. And so if you ever see me out there, come say hi, and we'll chat it up.
Speaking of like fans and wanting to like play golf with you, I don't know if you even know this, but I'm in a video that we sent to you to win the contest to play 18 holes with Paige.
I know. You told me that story, and I need to see the video.
It's right here.
I mean, it didn't win, so it must not have been
so,
that great.
So, okay, I didn't produce it. I was the only person with any experience, and that's why I was on it. It wasn't, hey, I didn't say it was great. I was only just trying to fluff you up a little bit more. Yeah, it wasn't that great, so we didn't win.
You need to show me this video.
Okay. I mean, like, I don't know when we do this, but we could totally do this right now. And by the way, the guys that produced it, they're going to be listening to this, and they're going to be mad at you because they're actually professional producers. So, and we tried to do everything. We tried to put some, you know, we put some women in it, we put some men in it, we had also
Oh, so you had diversity. Happens in golf.
Yeah, actually,
I'm surprised you didn't win.
Yeah. My point was this. I mean, there's guys like me all over the world. I mean, we should talk about international. Do you have international love on Insta?
I do.
Who's the coolest guy that follows you?
You. I mean, okay. I think we need to take a second to talk about Josh for everyone who's listening. Why don't you talk about your background a little bit so they know who you are, why we decided to pick you for this? Because to be completely honest, this is the first time we're meeting. So
that's right. Let's be honest.
I know you're surprised by the chemistry, everyone, because it's just amazing. But it's first time.
Yeah. So there's a couple different reasons.
Completely honest, when they first said that like you were going to be the person, I was like, oh, he's old.
Oh my God. Good. Let's do this. So, let's do this.
And then I was like, oh, well, I have a lot of dads who follow me. I'm like, this could work.
Yeah. Like straight up, I'm your demographic, like target audience.
You actually are. I was like, they can relate.
How old did you think I was? And how did you know? Did you look me up?
So I looked at your Instagram account and the first thing I saw was that you were wearing a Raiders hat.
Yes.
Which was not great. Sorry. Because I'm a Steelers fan.
They suck.
And then I kind of scrolled through a little bit. And I was like, okay, he has some golf stuff. And then there was a video of you dancing. I think you just got out of a parking ticket.
Oh, yeah. No. I beat my speeding ticket in court.
And I'm like, that's such a dad move. He's perfect.
Oh, dad move. I love that. Well, so, and here's the other thing. It's like you're almost half my age.
Yeah.
So I have a 15-year-old daughter. You're half my age. Then, I mean, it's kind of like this perfect third. And I love, you know, and the whole, you know, that's very important to me, being a dad of a daughter, mm-hmm. right? I love, adore golf, always have. So we have that. Plus, you know, I love bullying bullies.
Yeah.
So, I got your back, girl, all day long, twice on Sundays, even though you didn't pick my video.
You need to work on that.
But look, here's the other thing. I'm just so non-threatening, right?
Yeah. You can't even win a play around with Paige contest.
I mean, this is the last time we're talking about this.
Okay, last. I still need to see the video first.
Oh, no. You can see it, as will everyone else. Check it out. IG Playing Around Podcast. I'll post it for you.
I can't wait to see it.
Now, you didn't see it. That's why I didn't win.
Well, they didn't even show me. That's how bad it was. And you're a good golfer, too. What's your handicap?
I am a 3.8 right now. I'm a goon, though.
You just bomb it all day?
I just bomb it.
Is it bombs like Phil Mickelson?
I hit bomb. Yep, exactly. I think I might be Phil's age. By the way, is he 50 yet?
I don't know.
He's 50. He's a little older.
Honestly, anyone over 35 just seems old.
You know, you need to watch your mouth.
Well, and it's weird because I'm getting older and yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be 30 in three, four years. And then it's...
Yeah, bloom's falling off your rose too.
I know. I have such a small window too. So
I'm
I gotta get it now.
Let's get it now, girl. Yeah. Let's get it all. Let's do. You got your YouTube. You got your Insta rolling. Let's get this thing.
Well,
rolling.
People are always you're getting older. Your looks are gonna fade. I'm like, okay, that's why I'm starting a podcast. Thank you very much.
And that's why I'm on one. Phil Mickelson is 49, so I got Phil. I have Phil. I'm under Phil. I'm just
you're,
under
you're
Phil.
You're under Phil.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but I'm a goon. I hit bombs.
Bad short game, though, I've
tragic.
Heard.
I mean, you can definitely give me tips. I had chip yips for 2 years.
So no touch.
No touch.
How's your wife feel about that?
You're getting it all out right now. First episode.
Starting strong.
I mean, Jesus.
We'll talk about that. I'll give you some tips.
She doesn't like it, Paige.
Okay.
PG.
Yeah.
I think I was going to call you PG because you're all goody-goody, but you're not. You're wicked. You're wicked to me.
Oh, sweetheart. But we're going to talk about golf tips. That's going to be a big thing of the show. We're going to have a lot of questions from people. So
you didn't answer who's the coolest person that follows you.
I don't like to talk about other people.
Okay, well, let's be honest about that then.
The coolest person who follows me?
Yeah.
Probably Justin Timberlake. But, okay, so I played golf with him, and he was my partner at this event in Missouri. And we played really well together. We were a good team. He's the coolest person ever. And I have the biggest girl crush on his wife.
Justin Timberlake follows you?
Yeah. But I want to marry his wife. She is amazing. She was talking and I was just drooling. I'm like, oh my God, you're so hot and so funny and so charming. Like,
are you saying that because you're trying to ward off the whole idea that JT's like the sexy, bringing sexy back, sexiest man
if
alive?
If you gave me a choice between Jessica or Justin, I would choose Jessica.
Full lesbian.
100%.
You're ready for that.
Born ready.
Born ready?
Yes.
So are you born lesbian?
Can you, you're born.
See what I did there? See what I did there? You called me old. You called me old.
Now we're just coming out on the very first podcast episode. I'm bi, everyone. There you go. Swipe up. That's a good little clickbait article. Paige comes out as being bi and she's going to marry Jessica Biel. The headlines. I love it.
Okay. So sorry. I didn't mean to corner you on that one, but I mean, JT's pretty is a pretty dope follow.
Yeah, so I've played golf with some really cool people, and I've been really lucky. I can't even, like, he's really cool, and obviously, like, the fact he follows me, I still freak out about that. But in that event as well, I also played with Mark Wahlberg and
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, which you don't know because I'm that old and you're not.
I know.
You know the Funky Bunch?
I know.
Okay.
I just remember him and, like, those old Calvin Klein commercials.
So you do remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not a lesbian.
You can like girls and like boys. It's kind of a thing.
Okay, got it. I didn't know that. I'm that old.
Yeah, it's fine, we'll talk about it.
Okay. All right, so we got Marky Mark and JT. What else? Who else was fun to play with? Who else was someone like to talk about playing with?
Well, you're going to have to listen to the rest of the podcast to find out.
Oh, is this nice?
We got stories, man.
Oh, you're breaking to a different segment already.
Already. Like, you got to keep listening. It's not just one episode here.
Okay, so you're not going to tell me that. What do we got left on this podcast?
Well, we have two really great guests on this show coming up later. From the Bachelor Nation. And I know all of you guys are probably like, ugh, but I know you watch The Bachelor. Your wives and girlfriends and significant others, they make you watch it. So you know Wells Adams. He's from this area, which is really cool. So he's going to give you some really awesome stories. And then everyone knows Chris Harrison. And he may or may not have shit his pants. So be on the lookout for that.
Wow. Wow. After the break. Hey, we got
our very first guest.
Paige Renee, our very first guest.
Wow, no one was available, huh? Really? This is the first one you got?
That's all we got.
Look at this sweet face. Mm-hmm. I know none of you guys can see this sweet face, but you know him. He is the Bachelor bartender, yep. A man with two last names.
Yep.
Wells Adams.
Thank you so much.
You darling kid.
Yes.
Darling kid. All right. Paige, get after him.
Okay, so you're from this area.
I am.
You are.
And I this smoke is like, pot everywhere around here.
It's the most beautiful area ever. You're
it
super
is.
Lucky. But I get a lot of questions from people when tournaments come into town. They're like, where do I stay? Where do I eat? Where do I play?
Okay.
Go.
How much money you got?
Let's do not a lot. I mean, okay. Everything's going to be pretty expensive around here.
Yeah.
Let's do like average and then like all out.
Okay. I would say average, you should stay at the Hyatt, which is connected to Old Del Monte, which is a golf course that I grew up on. I grew up on the corner of 9 and 10. And I have a bunch of funny stories about selling golf balls and lemonade.
I thought you were going to say weed for a second.
No. I mean, that too. But that is the oldest golf course west of the Mississippi. It's part of the Pebble Beach Company. And it's a phenomenal track. It's very, very difficult in terms of layout. Not difficult in terms of, like, a lot of hazards. Really good track. Very challenging, especially if you play from the tips. But also, if you stay the Hyatt, it's not too expensive to stay there.
Okay.
If you got some money, I mean, you should stay at the Lodge at Pebble Beach. But I also realize that's a little out of that. A lot of people's price range. If you have a lot of money, then you should stay at Post Ranch Inn. That's like $3,000 a night.
So just a week then.
Yeah. So I hope my fiance isn't listening to this because she wants to go now to the Post Ranch Inn.
Yeah.
And I need to sell some more ads. This this segment brought to you by Dasani. Dasani.
See,
if
you're,
if you need hydration.
That's a half a night. Right, yeah.
No, you're just going to like walk in, walk out.
That's an appetizer at Post Ranch Inn. But like, there's obviously like a ton of places to stay. But the Monterey Peninsula is amazing. There's a lot of really cool places to stay down at the, like in Cannery, like the Cannery Row area, Fisherman's Wharf area. Like if you're like in, big into seafood, like love a like a bread bowl with clam chowder, like you need to go to Fisherman's Wharf. Okay. I can talk to you about Monterey for like for years.
Okay, so top three restaurants then.
Okay, so I would say one would be outside of Monterey. It's Nepenthe. It's down the coast on in Big Sur. The Ambrosia Burger and the view, you can't beat it. Yeah. It's a $30 burger, but the view is so worth so much more than that. And it's a cool
thing. It's priceless.
And also, if you're coming from the south, coming up north, you're going on the PCH, and you can stop there. And, like, if you can, like, I figured out how to time it out right, where if you can get there around 5 o'clock, get your seat, watch the sun go down, eating that burger and, like, drinking, like, your old-fashioned, it's the best freaking thing in the world. No joke. That's the best place to eat.
Yeah, give me, like, a hidden gem that only the locals know about.
Okay, I'm going to get roasted by my, like, local friends about this. This is also Big Sur, but, like, it's still part of the Monterey Peninsula. There's a famous bridge called the Bigsby Bridge, right? Like, every car commercial you've ever seen is, like, a drone shot of the car driving over the Bigsby Bridge. It's beautiful. Every time you watch the opening of Big Little Lies, you see them driving over the Bigsby Bridge. Right before the Bigsby Bridge, on the north side, there's a road called the Old Coast Road. It's a dirt road that you can take up into the forest. And it's back in the day before the bridge existed, you had to drive this like crazy dirt road to get around the canyon to get back down the PCH. Anyone can go on it. So if you have a rental car, get like a four-wheel drive and take the Old Coast Road.
Okay.
You go through like all these like super cool redwood groves all the way around back to the coast.
That's
it'll
awesome.
Blow your mind. But also, like, don't tell anybody because everyone's so mad at me for telling you that.
So everyone listening right now,
they're
don't
so
blow
mad
it.
At me. Like, I blew my, like, local card right there.
Well, thanks for cool. sharing that with
yeah.
all of us.
For sure.
Means a lot. And you're yes. also a pretty big golfer, too.
Yeah, so like I was saying, I grew up on Old Del Monte on the corner of 9 and 10. We used to have this, I'm the youngest of five. We were all golfers. And we had this swing set where you could look down. You could see people coming up one, getting on two. But then also, if like you kinked your head up, you could see people coming down nine. So we would bribe the marshal with a bottle of wine every single week. This is no joke. Bribe the marshal every single week with a bottle of wine, because if someone was coming up one, then we'd look up nine. If no one was coming down nine, we'd jump on 10 and we'd play a nine. If no one was coming up one, but people were coming down 10, we'd jump on two and we'd play the front. Like we did this every single day. This was like our life. And then we also sold golf balls and lemonade, and then like, and we would say terrible things like, our parents are sick and like, we really need to raise money. Like I feel so bad, but we did that.
Meanwhile, you grew up in Monterey.
I know.
And he lives on the golf course.
On the golf course.
And what's terrible about it is that, like, so they would hit golf balls. It's two holes that you hit balls into our yard. So we would get their balls, and then we would sell them back to them for $3
a
ball.
With a little shame.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid playing junior golf, I lived about 2 hours east, just soil, dirt, agriculture. But at the end of the summer, the one of the big tournaments was at Old Del Monte.
Yeah.
And I was 17 years old, so it was my last summer. And we play 2 days, Saturday, Sunday. I play Saturday, I play great. I'm in the last group, the last foursome. I get off the green on Sunday, and I think I've won the tournament. And my buddy says, "How'd you do?" I said, "I think I won." He goes, "No, you didn't." I was like, how would you even know that, right? And then I went, and he goes, "Yeah, Tiger." Tiger was...
You mean Tiger as in Tiger Woods?
Yep.
Eldred.
Is there any other Tiger? Woods.
Just wanted to
We're
clarify.
We're at the AT&T. And I believe he was 9-under for 2 days. Mm. I think I was about even par.
Mm.
So I will say this. I got smoked by Tiger Woods. He was 5 or 6 years younger than me at that time.
I think he was like 5 or 6 years old. I was like, makes sense.
No, I think he was... Yeah, exactly. You've seen my swing. It makes sense.
Tiger hadn't hit puberty yet, but still...
Shot 9-under.
But see, he did. He grew up... Didn't you know... Well, no, you're younger. So we all knew him growing up. We all knew him because he was on Sports Illustrated at 4 years old. He was like the phenom for all time. He was Southern California, but he would come to Monterey.
I remember doing Nike golf camps, and they were teaching the Tiger swing, and being like, my body
doesn't work
that way. My back can't do that.
Yep.
And I was like a limber 12-year-old. And,
well,
you know?
his couldn't either.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, later down the road.
He was done.
Yeah.
So you had the honor of being our first guest, and we have a second guest coming up later who you know really well, Chris Harrison. And I heard you guys have a little golf story.
Chris is my boss, just so everyone knows, on the Bachelor franchise Paradise. So Chris has gotten to do the Pro-Am the past 3 years, and like this has been my dream. Like I used to be a standard bearer in this tournament, and if people don't know what standard bearer, it's like the guy that like walks around with
like the little kid with the sign
with like what sure. how much under you are.
Would
you know?
Mess up? Was that hard to do?
No, it wasn't that tough. And there was also like an adult being like, "Hey, you're an idiot. Like it's five under. Hale Irwin's 5-under. You dipshit.
Take your finger out of your nose and turn the card.
Tom Watson's 2-under. Stop being such a piece of crap." So like this is like the tournament that, like I grew up working, and I grew up working this thing from like 5 to like before I left for college. So it's like the thing that happens in this town. It's a big deal. He's done it for the past 3 years. And also like I'm the youngest of 5 kids, so all of us went to weird colleges. And then what would happen was that everyone became friends with random golfers along the line. My sisters went to Vanderbilt, they became friends with Brent Snedeker. My brother went to Kansas. He became friends with Woodland and Matt Gogel. Like it's a weird thing. But the thing is that Q School, there's a Q School qualifier that happens here at Bayonet and Black Horse. So all these people would come and stay with us when they had no money, right? So Matt Gogel would come and stay with us over summers and like work on playing well at Bayonet and Black Horse, which is an amazing course here in the peninsula. We've become friends with Matt Gogel. Matt Gogel was a guy that has won the AT&T. He actually like famously lost to Tiger like 7 shots down.
Josh,
like,
you know how that feels.
Yeah, you know what that is. He wasn't 7 years old at the time. But,
and I was never 7 shots up.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're never 7. Matt Gogel was listening to this and be like, this f-ing guy.
Yeah.
So, he didn't know me either.
So we're still friends with Matt Gogel. He's an announcer on the Golf Channel and whatever. So he is doing his announcements on 17 at Pebble last year. And so we're texting him being like, "Hey, we're here. What's going on?" He was like, "Hey, man, come up to 17. Hang out with us." Great. We go up there. He like lets us put on the headphones and the microphone, and he's talking to producers and, you know, like, you know, up next is so-and-so, and what a great shot. And all of a sudden...
A real future in that.
I know. Max Homa up next. And then all of a sudden, Chris Harrison's up. And Chris Harrison hits one like 14, 15 feet on 17, which is a really hard thing to do. It's a long par 3, right? Very into the wind, iconic par 3 on Pebble. Hits like 14, 15 feet. And I was like, oh man, okay, let's see. And the night beforehand, we were all hanging out, like drinking a lot of wine. Chris loves his wine. And so I was like, I don't know what's going to happen here. and his pro bogeys, and Chris snakes in his 15-foot birdie, and I lose my mind. Like, I still have the video, if like I can send it to you guys. I lose my mind, and then I race down the steps, and I give him like this huge hug, and he goes, "I'm carrying this mother." And like, of course he wasn't, but like, it was
in
the
that
most
moment.
Yes, of course it was like, oh my god, what an amazing thing to like that, because like we've all been there, right?
Yeah.
Like you snake one long and you're like, oh my god, I'm yes!
And just ignore the other 16
yes,
holes
of
that.
Course like yeah. that he did nothing on, you know.
Yeah.
And he gives him this big hug, he's like, I'm carrying this motherfucker, and I was like, Chris, I'm a hero, you know. Anyways, Chris Harrison is coming up. He's awesome.
What an appropriate, perfect story.
Yeah.
The Monterey, the Chris Harrison, the everything.
Yeah.
Wells Adams, thank you so
You're
much.
A great guest. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Playing Around with Paige Renee. We have got another... Wells, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, thanks
We've
for having
got
me.
Another special treat. A guy I'm very jealous of currently. Bachelor czar host, Chris Harrison, welcome.
How you doing, guys? How's it going? Bachelor czar, I like that. I like czar.
I like that. So I must say, all of my college roommates, friends, they are obsessed with you.
Wait, where'd you go to school?
San Diego State. Huh. I had a friend, Sam, sorry, Sam, I'm saying this, but she would make like walls of like all the girls, and they loved you though. Wow. Yeah.
Slightly creepy, but.
Oh, it is so creepy.
Oh, it doesn't
so
stop.
So creepy.
No, I love it. I love Bachelor Nation is, they are fanatical, and I love all the Bachelor like fantasy leagues, all of it. It is the modern day sport. It is. It's sporting.
Can you keep them all straight now after so many seasons?
Yeah, like if I go back, here's what happens. Sometimes you'll be at a place like this.
Yeah.
And there's like hundreds of people outside on this patio right outside this door where we are here at Pebble Beach. And someone will walk up to me, say, "Hey, I'm Kim, season 3. And I'm like, "Ah, okay. I went home night 2. I'm like, "Oh, dear Lord, come on. Come on."
Like I said to you.
I feel bad. And here's what, I don't even try anymore. Used to be you would fake it. When I'm old enough now, I'm like, "I'm sorry, I just don't remember." There's been hundreds of thousands of you.
Yeah, it has been. Like that was the first connection
There's
I had.
Been
I
a
like
lot.
Chris Lambden, you know.
But Lambden obviously went really far.
Yes.
Was in the running for The Bachelor. And so he was a big deal. Like if you go far enough, and I remember like Chris in Bora Bora. And so I remember his season specifically. But, you know, if you went out night 1 or 2, come on, give me a break.
I got to ask, just being like a fan of the show, who is your favorite and least favorite?
Favorite Bachelor or Bachelor? I mean, here's the thing. It's weird for me because it kind of goes with my life, less about TV. And my life back in the day was changed by this show. And so my son was born when I got this show. He was 6 weeks old. He's now going to college.
Wow.
He's 18 years old. So it's crazy. That's how this show is going to
what
college. So back in the day when my life was changing and there were 33 million people watching this show and it was outrating the Oscars and the World Series, it was, you know, Trista Wren, our first bachelorette, was so impressionable to me. Andrew Firestone, who's still one of my best friends. Bob Guinea, who was a blast. And then there's this modern era of guys like a Ben Higgins and some, you know, and Colton. And so it's just different because those guys in back in the day were of my age.
Yeah.
We truly were good friends and contemporaries. Now they're young, and Ben Higgins, I feel like I take him under my wing more, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And I'm more of a mentor to them as you know, a cool older brother.
Yeah.
This is hurtful.
Less of the creepy uncle.
I am in the room.
Literally though, here's the thing. I am prefacing this as bachelors or bachelorettes, not people.
How's it, I set that how's up it, for you, and he just... Yeah,
how does it smell under the wing?
Yeah,
but if we did
I don't
people,
know,
Wells would easily be top 1,000. Yeah. Easily. 997.
So have you guys played golf together before?
No, Wells is... Here's the great thing about Wells is he kind of, you know, cruised through the show, and Wells was a little too normal. Mm. Believe it or not, because he's a little too normal for this show. He was like... He kind of was a little too smart, a little too normal. And so really didn't get noticed at first, but we noticed him. And so obviously he's become such a bigger star and a bigger part of our franchise.
He's kissing your ass so much right now. After just
no, I mean, who else have we brought back to be a part of this franchise and knowing he can carry the comedy, but also carry the serious and keep the storyline going in Bachelor in Paradise. And, you know, we disliked him so much, we gave him a Japanese co-host to work the bar.
You've never known pain until you've tried to do a television show for an entire month with someone that doesn't speak your language.
And when we say she doesn't, it's like zero.
Nothing.
Zero. That's
seriously?
It. And so it was a thing that would have been a really good bit, but we're like, oh, let's do it all summer long. Wells is like, dear God.
Every day I was waiting for Chris to walk down those steps to be like, Yuki, you're fired. And it didn't happen.
Never happened.
But really all it is Wells and I hanging out in Mexico together, playing golf and drinking.
Yeah.
So you guys play golf together a lot?
We do.
Yeah. So we film in this really cool little town called Sayulita, but like everyone stays at this really nice resort in Puerto Vallarta called
Vedanta.
And so there's a bunch of golf courses there. And so Chris and I like kind of like pre-production, and sometimes in the middle of it, we get to go play. And there's this rad little par three course that we go play. And my favorite story of playing golf with Chris Harrison is he never in Mexico, I don't know, at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, he'll play with shoes. But in Mexico, the man does not wear shoes on the golf course. And I don't
great
know
for balance.
Exactly.
So we were on, I don't know, I think it was like seven of this like nine hole par three, and I stick one 12 feet, and I'm like, all right. And Chris is also just kicking my ass, by the way. And he puts one, was it in the sand trap behind the
hole? No, just over the hole.
Over the hole. So he puts one behind, and I'm down one going into seven. I've got a 12-foot putt for birdie. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get one back, and then we're going to be going into the last couple of holes, and I think I can beat Chris Harrison, and this will be like a big moment for me. And this MF-er.
Yeah. Paige, I'll tell you what that is later.
Yeah. Chips the ball, nails it.
Jarred
and I was
it. Hooped
just
it.
Like,
in the air.
Hooped it.
Dunk.
And then, of course, I missed my putt, you know, and then it's over.
Yes.
And I was just like that, and I remember thinking, this is the most Chris Harrison thing Chris Harrison has ever done.
That's quite a compliment.
And then I made him buy me a beer after.
Yep, and that's how it works. But yeah, we get to play over there a lot, and it's a lot of fun to play with him. And he's also a phenomenal striker of the ball, and also a sandbagging SOB.
I'll tell you what,
that is. And a very generous lover.
So do you guys think you're the best in the Bachelor franchise?
Oh,
because I've played with a couple of the guys. Colton?
Colton's
sucks.
Terrible.
He sucks.
He's like a
so bad.
Big.
So
he doesn't
bad.
Move.
No, he just like kind of goes back and kind of goes a little bit through.
He's too
and
big and strong. Ben Higgins is a decent golfer. And these are the main people, because we had like a professional golfer. We've had some people that are pretty decent.
Yeah,
but
Garrett was.
Yeah, Garrett was a pro golfer from Alabama. But I would say Wells and I are probably, I would take anybody on. If we did a best ball, we would take anybody on.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but last year at Genesis, I was on Team Tiger.
Right.
You were on Team Freddie.
In the Celeb Cup.
Yeah, and my team won.
That was so
stacked. I
just stacked.
Had to point that out.
It was so stacked. I'm missing it this year. But you and I, we did this Ryder Cup thing where it was Tiger Woods had his six golfers, and you had...
We were stacked.
Who was your team?
So we had... I played with Nick Jonas. We had...
Not my favorite Jonas brother, I'll be honest. No.
Team Kevin the way.
Kevin's the precocious one.
Yeah.
So I, growing up, like, I loved the Jonas Brothers, and I was super excited the whole time. I was just like, I can't believe I'm playing golf with him.
He's
not
so fun,
like,
though, by the way.
He's not a great golfer, so I had to carry the team. Sorry, Nick.
Who did you take on?
We were playing against Luke Wilson and Chris Pratt.
Pratt sucks, too, though.
He's really slow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
No,
he's like the slowest
greatest
player
guy ever. Nicest
awesome.
Human being. Sucks at golf.
He would just talk the entire pre-shot routine, and it would take him 2 minutes.
He's really nervous.
So
I
that's
was
why,
laughing, but I was
well,
like,
it's funny.
The
there's
ball.
A lot of guys that golf, and they try to get him up here to Pebble, and they won't do it. Like this year, McLemore's playing. He is so nervous. It's crazy what we do. I can host a show in front of millions of people. McLemore can get on any stage at Madison Square Garden or the Forum or whatever and be totally fine. Tell us to hit a 7-iron, and I mean...
Yeah, Nick seemed like really well. I mean, obviously, you're teeing off in front of
Tiger Woods and Fred Couples.
And
yeah,
you're going to be nervous. Even like I was shaking because you don't want to miss it in front of Tiger Woods. That's the worst thing that could ever happen.
Tiger was, and I love Tiger. He was such a dick. the first hole, I'm on Fred's team. I'm going as Tiger, but I'm no Tiger. And I thought, okay, he's being cool. So he's like, Chris, this putt is going to go a little right to left. And, you know, is where you want to put it. I'm like, dude, that's cool. Tiger's giving me a little line here. I hit it. It goes the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Attaboy, Tiger.
And I go, dude, you're such a dick. You did that on purpose. And he goes, you're on the other team. Yeah, screw you. I'm like, yeah, he is so
That's kind of on you. That's kind of on you.
He's so effing competitive. And I was literally like, you are such a dick. Yeah, he will win at all costs.
Yeah, who's your partner?
I was with Carson Daly. They went team host.
Oh, he's awesome.
And we were the only team on team Freddie that won.
Who'd you guys play? Oh, you play against Kid Rock,
Jerry
right?
Rice and Kid Rock.
Yep.
Yeah. And Jerry Rice does not like to lose.
I have a Jerry Rice golf story.
I want to hear it.
So when I was, sorry, not to like railroad, but like when I was, I think 15, my dad woke me up. So my dad's a doctor, and he woke me up one day and he goes, hey, listen, you're not going to school today. And I was like a C student being like, hell yes. What are we doing? He said, we're going to go play golf. And I was like, sweet. So we go up to my dad's club, which is right down the road, and he goes, okay, we're playing with Jerry Rice today. You're driving the cart, and we're going. And the reason why was his daughters were needing some medical help, and my dad was consulting or whatever, and that's how we made that connection. And I at the time was playing high school golf, and I was a pretty good golfer, but we were playing like our home course, and so. It was put upon me to kind of like tell Jerry Rice how to play this golf course.
It's a lot
okay?
of pressure.
Yes. Yeah. And so we start playing, and I notice immediately he's the most competitive. He's being competitive to like a 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid.
Like in the cart too?
Yes.
Like this route.
He doesn't care.
He does. And like, I remember like he hit some balls like kind of like down the hill and he was like, I'll go get it. And he like, and I was like, dude, just put one out here. It's fine. This is not a big deal. And he was like, no. And he would like run down and then he would hit his ball and then he would sprint up. And I remember being like, Jesus Christ, like pump the brakes, Jerry. And at the end I remember this to this day, I shot 78. Wow. I won $13 off him, and he was so pissed off.
If you ran into him today, he would remember and be pissed.
He was so mad to give me that $13. And of course, I was like, yeah! And the only picture I have of it, because my dad's an idiot and doesn't understand how photos work, it's a sunset. I'm so backlit. You can't tell it's me and Jerry Rice.
Like, it never even happened.
Yeah. But anyways, very competitive. He will scream obscenities at you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the guys that day were really competitive.
Yeah, very competitive.
Except for, I think, Kid Rock was just like, how many beers can I crush?
He wore a Casamigos sweatshirt, was drinking a lot of Casamigos tequila. And that was Kid Rock.
And had, like,
he's a cool dude, by the way. He's actually he's a really nice guy,
oh, yeah, awesome.
By the way. Yeah, I don't know what kind of reputation he has as far as being a party. But he's actually a really nice guy.
He's a hell of a musician. I saw him open up for Aerosmith. He played.
He's
all the,
sneaky
all
good.
The, mm-hmm. All the
he played Tiger Jam one year. So I always host for the Tiger Woods Foundation in Vegas, and I know you're a part of that foundation as well. And he did it one year, and it was awesome.
We were playing Shadow Creek for Tiger Jam, and we were on like hole 11. He's like, guys, don't eat anything. We're like, okay. He ordered In-N-Out for everyone. And they like brought it out.
Baller
we just had like
move.
Burgers and shakes Baller and move. Fries. And I was like, this is the best round ever.
Nice. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
You have had, I mean, you were talking about nerves earlier with Macklemore and all of that. So I'm jealous. Actually, Paige is also jealous. We gotta get your amateur status back.
So I can play in this event.
Can play. Yeah. And I've always wanted, I actually caddied for my dad in this tournament.
Did you really?
How nerve-wracking is it?
It's incredibly nerve-wracking. It's because here's the thing. It's not what we do. Like hosting and doing television, all that, that's not a hobby for me. It's what I do. It's my life. It's what I've dedicated my adult life to. And I'm good at it. Whether you like me or not, it's up to you. But I know I can do what I do.
Well, a couple seasons past.
Golf. Yeah, right. I mean, some of them suck, but I'm confident on the stage. But here, it's not what I do. So yeah, it's nerve-wracking as hell. And 2 years ago, I was with Jason Day, and Jason and I did really well, and we were in the second-to-last group on Sunday. And on Sunday, they don't pair it according to amateur status. They do it, of course, for TV, for the winners. Mm-hmm. So we're in the second-to-last group. On Sunday, I'm the only freaking amateur. So it's Steve Stricker, Jason Day, Troy Merritt, and me, which makes no effing sense. So they all tee off from the tips, and then I run out like a bozo and hit it real quick from the whites, and it was the most nerve-wracking because I these guys are playing for millions of dollars. Yeah. Troy Merritt was a young kid at the time. He's been on tour for years now, but he needed status to keep his card to get to Genesis the next week at Riviera. So I'm just trying to stay out of the way.
Yeah.
It's horrifying when there's thousands and now I actually know, and Paige can speak to this. Once you know you can do something under pressure, I relish nerves. And one of the reasons I do stuff like this, I relish putting myself in situations to see if I can perform mm-hmm. under that kind of pressure. And I love it. It's why I love live TV. I love that kind of stuff, walking a tightrope to see if I can do it. And the first time I was here, I didn't know if I could do it. Now I know I can. And it's just fun. I love the adrenaline. I love the rush. And I it's great.
Well, and I think people don't realize how hard these golf courses are, too. Like, they're set up
for the tour, right.
The tournament. Right. So, I mean, they bring the fairways in.
Greens are rolling at a 12. And, yeah,
it's just a different golf course. And a lot of amateurs, when they come out here, they're just not used to playing.
I come up here all the time and I'll play Pebble, and it's not the most difficult course in the world. Yeah. You come out this week and it is, you can't go above the pin. If you're above the pin, you're dead.
Yeah.
It is lightning fast. But these guys make it look so easy. And I love spending days with them, just picking their brain. And it's not even about golf. Like with Jason Day, the best thing I took from him was his attitude. He's
such a great guy.
He's the nicest. He and Ellie are amazing. Yeah. But he never got down. He'd hit a crappy shot. He'd be like, I got that. He has always had a smile on his face. I'm like, I'm doing that from now on. I don't, but I would like to.
How many times have you played now?
This is my third year.
Third year. Oh, yeah. So you're still pretty fresh, too.
Pretty fresh, yeah. It was 3.5. The first year I was here, I was an alternate because I just had met everybody, and they said, well, just come up. Someone will back out, and no one backed out. But I was here. It was really the best way to do it because I got to come up, play practice rounds, meet everybody, and I didn't have the pressure of playing. Then the next year, I played with Jason Day. So I went from ground zero to the Super Bowl.
Well, and I don't think little birdie told me, too, that you were dealing with something.
Oh, my God.
That was...
I got so sick. It was right now.
You were basically about to shit your pants 24/7.
I wouldn't say
that?
I was...
We're doing that now.
By the way,
not only were you nervous, but you were dealing
with that. I wouldn't say I was about to.
This is way better than Jerry Rice.
I wasn't saying... So, this night, there was a party the night before, and I went to this party, and I got so deathly ill. And I thought, I woke up in the middle of the night at 12 o'clock in sweats. Like, oh my God, I'm having anxiety. I don't have anxiety attacks, but maybe I'm having an anxiety attack because I'm nervous for this tournament. And I quickly realized, as Paige just eloquently put it, I wasn't having anxiety. It was all coming out.
I think that's anal anxiety.
It was. And it wasn't just that. It was top, bottom. It was all happening.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm about to tee off.
Oh, no.
And my buddy, it was my caddy. The next day, I walk up and I look like death warmed over. It was horrifying. I don't know how I even made it the first tee. And I get there and there's a chair. I'm just sitting.
You weren't wearing white pants, right?
No, because I was scared to death. And I'm just sitting there and I have this, you know, I think everybody has a healthy fear of that happening in public,
yeah.
Needing to go in public or just puking in public. And so I was just sitting on a chair and I was so dehydrated. And I just remember hitting my first ball and thinking, okay, only 17 more holes to go. Then the second hole, there was a bench on this. I go, Chip, my buddy Chip, who's caddying for me, go get that bench. He's like, what? I said, go get the bench. And I would just kneel. I was literally on my knee at every hole. And I'm like, okay, 16 more. Okay, 50 more. You got this. Like, it was just, and maybe I think this wasn't great, but the fact that I was so concentrated on something else, I didn't even remember the first round, and I played pretty well. It's kind of like the Michael Jordan mm-hmm. flu game. Not Michael Jordan.
Right.
But I think when you're so worried about something else, you don't care. I was just surviving. And later, now that I've gotten to know Jason, he goes, I thought, God, this guy's kind of an a-hole. Yeah. Like, he didn't talk.
And you had a responsibility the spectators,
right,
too.
You're walking off to the side. You're not you're not really conversing with anybody. I was like, dude, I was really trying not to poop my pants.
I like the idea of, like, some Bachelor Nation lady being like, Grace Harrison, I love you so much! And then, like, nothing. And then she's like, I think he just farted.
Yeah. Like, that guy's a jerk. Yeah, I was not pretty. And I went to, it happened at Clint Eastwood's. I found out later it was this virus I had, but I was at Clint Eastwood's party the night before it down to his place, Mission Ranch. And so we're all there and I had shrimp that night. And I think you just, whatever you had right before that, you think that was it.
Yeah.
So I had some shrimp and some oysters. And so I went to the same party this year and I saw the shrimp display. I'm like, nope, Pasadena, not going to do it.
Pass.
My stomach like turned. I was like, oh dear God. So I feel pretty good right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite course here?
Pebble.
Yeah.
Pebble Beach. It is a magical place. And I, so I grew up in Dallas and my family didn't have a lot of money. I didn't travel. I didn't play golf. Mm-hmm. I played soccer. And, but I watched the Clam Bake and the Bob Hope and all that stuff. And I just, it was this magical Shangri-La, this place that I couldn't believe existed. I never traveled outside the state of Texas. And so I just, I would see the stars and I would see this place. And it was, it really was, not to be cheesy and romantic, it was just blew my mind. And when I first came here and I actually got to play, I just, this can't be real. And you walk down number four and halfway down the fourth fairway, you get past this fence and you look to the right and there's the bay. And it's just, I had tears in my eyes. No, I had tears in my eyes. And I'm just like, this can't be happening to me. And to this day, when I play this course, I pinch myself. I get goosebumps even talking about it. And it never doesn't happen to me. It never ceases to amaze me. This today we had this, or earlier in the week, we had this par three. And my buddy and I said, screw it, let's go jump on 18. Cause you know, we have the little players pass and we were playing 18 together. Just he and I, and we're walking up 18. And he's like, dude, we're playing the 18 at Pebble Beach. And I said, yeah. So it never gets old. I am truly blessed to have this. And when this stops, I've gotten away with murder.
Amen. You know, so my dad, we grew up, my dad used to pull me out of school to come for the practice round, to come up here.
To come caddy.
Yeah. But then we'd love to watch, right? And one year we actually got to go to the Clam Bake when it was the Hope, right, when it was at Cypress, when the third course was right. Cypress. And I actually saw John Denver perform. And I mean, this is how old I am, but, Glenn Campbell both performed at the Clam Bake.
I just watched some old tape of John Denver on the telecast. I was go back and look at old stuff, and he created this song about Pebble and sang it. And it was just like, he was like, just, you know, striking blonde hair, good looking. Glenn Campbell was too. And it was amazing. But to look at the guys that have come before us, I would have loved to have been, I'm a hopeless romantic. I know what I do is probably seems like, but I really am. And I love that stuff back in the Clam Bake, what it must've been like before the, you know, crappy cell phones and videos, like those guys getting together, like Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, Clint Eastwood, like all these guys back in the day when they ran the world, man, it was their oyster.
Yeah.
And like, what was that like? Probably a lot of debauchery.
Yeah. Speaking of debauchery, yes. Chris, tell us about your new adult beverage.
I'm actually, this is happening now. We're premiering this on this podcast because I haven't talked about it. I really haven't talked about this anywhere. But Amy Sugarman has made me do it. I created this drink with Seagram's. I partnered with them over a year ago. And it's just now hitting stores. It's called Tropical Rosé. You'll know it's me because my face is on the package. But I really have been hands-on with Seagram's for a year now. I went to Chicago to the tasting room. We created the taste. It is passion fruit, dragon fruit, touch of rosé. And the best part about it, it's freaking good. It's really freaking good. Offense to everybody else. I tasted a lot of the competitors, and they suck. In this space, they really suck. My stuff's good. It's really good. Golfers are going to love it. I did a big tasting thing at the Seagram sales thing. It was like 900 salesmen. And the guys came up and go, dude, I would drink this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really good. And women love it. 100 calories and under. So it's kind of a labor of love. And it's this collaboration with Seagram's. It's hitting store shelves now. We're going to be in Walmart, Target, you name it. It's going to be everywhere. And
Except here. Chris.
Well, now. Here now. It's not here yet.
Wait, am I going to be serving this in...
I was just going to ask that.
Next summer, Playa Escondida.
That's all you're going to be serving.
I'm going to look straight down the barrel of that camera and being like, by the way, everybody, this is Chris Harrison's new drink from Seagram's. It's delicious.
Wells, clock the can. Hold it up in the sun and smile. Perfect. It's out now. And look, here's the thing. It's such a obviously perfect marriage because Bachelor Nation loves to drink and they love to watch the show. And summer's coming quick.
It's going to be
spring.
Sold out.
It's going to be amazing. And it really is good. And that's the great thing. I always say, as long as you try it once, and then you're going to just fall in love with it.
Okay, I'll try it once.
That's all.
Fall in love.
That's it. The tip.
Just the tip.
You can even put it in. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say what I was going to say because it really.
You have to say it now. You can't just start. No, I was going to say it in and then just
like
not
you're
it.
Tasting wine. You can spit it out, but
Wow, we are. We're
yeah,
going
then it
there.
Just got yeah. dark, okay. and I didn't want to go there. So
sure
I tried to stop
it.
Myself. You made me go there.
But. I mean, let's go back to diarrhea. Yeah. This is getting
shitting,
racy.
Shitting, just swallowing. We're hitting everything.
Oh, boy. This got dark. Tropical Rosé by Seagram's and Chris Harrison. Go find it now.
How fun was that?
That was awesome.
Look at...
One episode down and done. We did it.
We didn't even talk about your cans.
We didn't.
Jesus. We did the whole podcast without talking about.
I was not expecting
the
that.
Missiles, the shock and awe.
That you were gonna come in hot with that, but yeah, you know, I have tits. It's fine.
It was. How do you feel?
I feel great. I think it's a good start, and I'm excited for people to listen in to all of our other awesome episodes.
Yep,
we're gonna kill it.
And even though neither of us got to play in the AT&T Pro-Am this year. We're going to go play some golf tomorrow.
Yeah. Update on the next podcast on who wins.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay. All right. Producer Tori, master of ceremonies, just tell everybody where to go.
I feel like I need music to intro me in now. So if you guys want to see the video we were just talking about, go to Playing Around Podcast. I just feel like I need a snap. And then email us any questions you have about dating or questions about golf or just any questions you have for Josh and Paige. Then email them at par at iHeartRadio.com.
.com.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic. Mic check.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.